Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence in You, Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host for today, Rebecca Miller, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. We've been talking with Allison Albright and Anastasia Powell from FEMA, and we're really getting a lot of great information. You know, I'm interested really in kind of what you've learned and what role FEMA had during and, you know, the continuation of the pandemic, and how, you know, how can we better prepare for this type of scenario?
Yeah, great question. I mean, this was definitely a learning experience for everyone,
right?
As far as this type of global scale pandemic. So I think overall FEMA learned a lot about how to handle health-related, in particular health-related emergencies. Typically, that's been something that HHS or CDC covers, but with this being such a large-scale event and so much logistical support, which FEMA does provide a lot of logistical support for different events, supplying PPE, trailers, helping set up medical facilities for vaccinations or testing. We were really able to use that expertise and support other government agencies in order to, you know, address COVID and everything that came with that. So I think we learned a lot about, you know, interagency coordination, and we learned a lot from our CDC partners. And I really think it changed the way that FEMA approaches many disasters going forward, a lot more public-private partnerships. It's becoming a really big focus going forward, the agency, focusing on like supply chain management, so people can continue to, you know, sell goods, buy goods, you know, have everything that they need. I know we focused in preparedness on, you know, vaccine confidence and equity. So making sure that everyone was able to learn about the vaccine and make the informed decision.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about the beginning of COVID when we all, you know, went home and things that we never thought of that wouldn't be available, you know, like, you know, toilet paper and paper towels, all these things. And, you know, what kind of made people panic and hoard and, you know, how, you know, it just changed the way that, you know, we all kind of want to say shopped. And it was just, you know, amazing, you know, a lot of seniors, especially going, you know, who were not tech savvy before, or, you know, maybe didn't even have a computer or didn't know how to use their smartphone, you know, really were forced into it. I know this is one of the topics that Otto really likes to propel, because it is so important. And really, you know, with Zoom even, I mean, you know, yeah. I'm sure Zoom is like incredible medium for you guys at FEMA too, to just stay in touch, even to do the radio show. So yeah, it's interesting to kind of note, and I guess all the, you know, companies that make products that were so kind of vast at that, you know, not available at that time are now kind of stocking up. And
you know, the flip side of that, as much as, you know, I'm into technology and I believe everybody should try to learn it, but I just got into a discussion with some people 2 days ago, both of whom are in their 90s, both of whom are in various stages of macular degeneration. And the thing that came out of the conversation is, how do I handle ordering food? How do I handle using Uber? How do I handle doing a lot of things that require maybe voice input, because I can't even see the keys on the phone? And I thought about that, and I think it's something that I don't have the answers to. You know, like if you try to order food, they tried in multiple ways, and they had a lot of complications. You know, the system wasn't set up for them to order, call up and order. You know, some stores do. Yeah. So there was a lot of pick and shovel work involved on their part. And I guess the question is, do we have anywhere like a consolidated list of how you could handle like ordering your medication, frankly. Like I go to Walgreens website and order, or My Chart, whatever. But suppose I can't do that. You know, I think there has to be like a list for the non-technical who have maybe health reasons that they can't use technology, even if they know technology. I know, does such a thing exist?
I think, you know, as one whole system, it doesn't really exist.
Not as a system. Yeah, just as a checklist for, you know, here's how you might handle food. Here's how you might handle order medication.
I think we're still learning about that through the pandemic, but I do have a little anecdote that I think can kind of help anyone who's in the position. My godmother is in her 80s, and when the pandemic had first hit, the first people, you know, she tried to do everything by herself. It kind of was inundating, like you were describing for her. She tried different systems, and it was me and my mother who were just like, well, why is she struggling with this by herself? Why aren't we? And, you know, the next day, you know, masked and all, we called her, asked her what she needed, came over and, you know, kept our distance, kind of created a delivery system, which is why I think it's so important to have a network. And, you know, especially when we're in a situation where we're self-isolating and being, you know, the beginning of the pandemic, we were all so scared of any type of contact that, you know, not everyone wanted to reach out. And I think that's why some of us have to reach in and see, you know, who we can help, who can we check on. We're neighbors. We've got to take care of each other.
Well, I agree. I mean, you can help people by, they can give you the order and you can go to Instacart or however you're going to do it. That's assuming that they've had that circle of support set up so that they have somebody who can do that for them. But then there are people who don't have that. They should. Doesn't mean that they will. The percentage is small, but it's those people have a big problem. They do, really.
And the town of North Hempstead, you know, our aging population, they're lucky enough to have a call-in number if they need assistance or they need help. And, you know, if it goes to, kind of what Otto is referring to, we have social workers and we have nurses that can kind of help them and or maybe connect them. You know, we have programs, Friends Helping Friends, that kind of a thing. But I think in general for seniors who, you know, it's still maybe they just have a television. So I know that there's, you know, emergency broadcast messages and that kind of a thing, and they still have their home phone numbers and things like that. But for those that are kind of newly coming into a new frailty, you know, a disability, losing vision, whatever, there's, you know, it's kind of, you know, it would be good to have those kinds of introductions into, you know, how to deal with, you know, sudden loss of vision or issues when we are in these kind of situations. So I think it was maybe more of a suggestion from Otto too. You know, not everyone lives in this wonderful town of North Hempstead where, you know, we're ready and prepared and trained to help this particular, you know, scenario. But, you know, we actually did learn a lot during the pandemic. We talk about this almost every show. You know, we were able to reach a lot of seniors and, you know, they could connect with us on Zoom programs and chats and committees and book clubs and things like that. But there's also a number of seniors that don't. So we continue to run programming on our government channel, North Hempstead Television. So seniors who really don't have the ability or really never were involved with us are able to look at these government channels and do a help, you know, take a fitness class or watch some kind of a program. So we're a hybrid of everything now, you know, between, you know, the television, Zoom, making phone calls. We have a lot of programs where seniors are matched up or partnered with someone who is isolated or alone, and that we connect them with people who have similar interests and they can stay connected that way. And that was a program that Project Independence had many, many years ago and kind of got reinvigorated during COVID because of all the isolation that people we're experiencing. So, you know, it is great to stay connected, but, you know, not everybody has people, you know, family, people, they outlive people, family moved to the coast. So, but I'm sure they could call FEMA too with questions if there was some kind of assistance that could be provided for those that are not in the town of North Hempstead.
You know, the like in our region two, I think you said it was, you think about the possibilities here. We have like flash flooding, you have fires in your own home, you have the fact that you could fall and wind up having to go to emergency room. You know, there's a lot of different things that can happen. But you can't, my opinion is you can't prepare for each and everything that can happen. So what's, you know, like we talked, the contacts are very important. Where would you put the next couple of steps? Like what the, based on the region that we're in, you know, what would be the key things to do?
So would you like to speak on this, Stacey, or?
Yeah, I think, yes, building a network is very important. Getting access to reliable information is important. You know, like you said, your television, for a lot of folks that are not necessarily tech savvy, listening to the news networks, you know, your local news station, your national news stations, just making sure that the information you have is reliable. As much as we all love our friends and family sharing things with us online, not all of it is necessarily vetted and can cause a little bit of panic if it's from the wrong source. Nobody means to do it, but it can cause harm. So just making sure that you have reliable news is very important. And like we said, you know, you're 100% correct. You cannot prepare for every single emergency under the sun to perfection, but you can prepare for your basic needs. So there are things you definitely know that whether or not you are sheltering in place or evacuating, there are things you know you will need, which is why building a kit is important, because no one can build it for you. They can give you a schematic, which is, you know, the bag that you have is the backbone of what they want you to have in preparedness. But does it have a list of medications that you need if you are unable to communicate for yourself? Copy of a prescription? Does it have, you know, if you wear contacts, does it have glasses in case you have to take them out? Things that are tailored to you as a person, that's what you can prepare for.
And you're like, I wear hearing aids. And, I would not really like to be running around without my hearing aids. So exactly. I think for me, that would be, I would have to think about how am I going to make sure that I can charge the hearing aids because they're rechargeable. And I never really thought about any of this until I did think about it, but you know, thinking is one thing, doing is another, right? You know, we all think about it, but doing is the thing that we do have to do. And that requires us, each individual, again, like you go to the individual kit, getting a push and doing it. And that's what we're trying to get across here, I think, is that do something, get started, and, you know, be ready. Like, there's a lot of sad things that happened last week with Ida. You know, people down in the basement.
You know what, Otto, let's talk about Ida when we come back, because we do have to take a break now. We'll continue with our guests, Anastasia Powell and Allison Albright from FEMA. You've been listening to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.